this program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, I know that you enjoy watching the Olympics, and our engineer Tom was just telling me about a story tonight where a young man in one of the track and field events, a man from Angola, literally jumped the gun. It wasn't an Olympic; it was a qualifying event, and he was waved off.
Yeah.
He missed the shotgun and jumped out ahead of it, and they said, nope, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so there's so much built up. I probably will never be in the Olympics, but we can always dream. But what does somebody do when they train so hard and for years and it's their whole life, and then what happens when they have some defeat like that?
Well, and there are, like, there can be in riflery, shooting at the wrong target, shooting at the wrong target for archery. I mean, there are all kinds of things that I have read about for years, and I've often thought, wow, you know, as you've said, you train and train and train. I did see something that was very interesting. This has to do with a strong Christian core of people who are on the U.S. softball team. And softball isn't always in the Olympics. I didn't realize that. I'd never thought about it like that. But in fact, the next two Olympics, it won't be there. But, and why, I don't know. But after winning the gold in 1996, 2000, 2004, Americans have not won the gold, and they've fallen, if you will, to Japan. That's kind of the language. But there's a U.S. squad, and there are a number of Christians, and let me just mention that there was discussion ahead of time back in January, and this is what I thought was fascinating. This was from Sports Spectrum Recalibrated podcast. Sports Spectrum's Recalibrated podcast. And Janie Reed, she was an outfielder. The pitcher is Kat Osterman. And she had retired and came back. These are phenomenal athletes. But in this particular Sports Spectrum message, that they were having conversations even before heading to Tokyo, how they would handle potential disappointment of not winning the gold. And the statement was, with the understanding that a gold medal cannot fulfill them. Not would not, but cannot fulfill them. This is the quote, "Failure is just an opportunity to show people my hope." This is Janie Reed saying this. "My joy, my peace is not in the game. It's in Jesus. And to really try to show people who Jesus is and what it looks like to be a Christian." And what I thought was fascinating is this core group from the national team players, they launched Church on the Dirt. Church on the Dirt. It's a softball ministry. And both women have contributed first-person essays, articles, to what it's called the Increase, that's part of Sports Spectrum. And in her most recent article, Janie Reed talked about finding joy while facing adversity, allowing God to produce fruit in us during difficult times. And she wrote, going through times of fear or disappointment is not easy, but we can know God will use those times to produce perseverance in us. It's up to us to decide if we are going to use these situations to find joy. Knowing God has a lot of fruit to produce in us as a result, we can become so comfortable in the lives we create for ourselves that we often don't realize all the, listen to this, many idols we hold in our hearts. And a mini idol could be an attainment, could be winning a gold, could be, it could be anything for us that isn't the highest priority for the Lord. Someone sent this to me that I read just coming into my little studio. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. The word holy means set apart for God, set apart from sin. By the way, this was written by Augustine, Saint Augustine, an incredible motivator of purity. I love this. I love what he said to challenge me on a personal level.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their lives. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
You're listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart, and we're offering God's truth for today's problems. We exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry, and we just say thank you for that. We'd like to recommend the Keys for Living to you called Trials, God's Refining Fire. That's Trials, God's Refining Fire. If you have any questions about that or just like to order that directly from customer support, you can do that at 800-488-HOPE. They will help you access the right resources, and again, their number is 800-488-4673. You may also get in touch with them by email at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. If you have any questions or, again, would just like to order from them, it's customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Well, join June Hunt, Debbie Stewart, Jared Stewart, and Dr. John Okanaga as they discuss how to reach prodigal people and bring them back to the truth. It's a conference called Prodigal People, a What to Do Conference on Reaching Prodigal People. If you've had someone dear to you distance themselves where the change is painful, if you feel rejected, hurt, guilty, powerless, you wonder how in the world could somebody stray so far from the truth? This is for you. It is going on in August, and we will have all the details for you. If you have any questions, you can certainly contact Sherry Crow at scrow, S-C-R-O-W, at hopefortheheart.org. That's how you find out information there. It's Prodigal People, a What to Do conference on reaching prodigal people. A very important conference coming up on August 20th and 21st. That's a Friday night and a Saturday morning, and you'll want to make sure that you are available for that. It's here at the Hope Center in Plano, Texas. Well, let's get to our caller for tonight. And in a way, June, this is like an old friend calling back. We have almost a year ago, right at a year ago, actually, we have returning a caller we talked to a couple of times, and she is listening still on the podcast from Pennsylvania. Tonight again, we have Michelle.
Well, how wonderful to talk with you again, Michelle. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, June. It's so nice to talk to you again.
Well, I was struck at your first words to me, basically, and it was that you had had a history of abuse, and this is what touched my heart. I was always set up for it. And you said you had a lot of abusers. And, you know, that is so challenging when at times we can't go back and change anything. History is history. Yet we can change looking forward. And so... talk to me about what you want to talk about and how things have gone for you within this year.
Well, I took what you told me and I put them, all the abusers, on God's hook. Mm. And I said, that was then, this is now. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to be very clarifying, and I used a lot of the Bible keys and the CDs to comfort me. I listen to them regularly now. And
Wow.
It seemed to be very positive. Now, I haven't really been very good with the timeline. I did start writing it, and then I ran out of paper. That was one of the things that I really ran out of paper. So that's one of the problems I ran into.
Well, you can always come back and do that again and have several pieces of paper, because truthfully, there are times when there can be so much negativity and people who have caused hurt and pain, and you had mentioned a number of things that were just incredibly challenging. And so I it doesn't surprise me, because we talked three times about a year ago, meaning like a week apart or 2 weeks apart, but, you know, meaning in these intervals. And yet I'm very proud of you, because I hear your wording. For forgiveness, you know, instead of us being hooked to those who have offended us, those who have hurt us, those who have abused us, instead of holding on to those offenders, it's like they weigh you down in terms of emotionally and spiritually. And what you said is you've taken them off of your hook, and this is what I suggested. But you're not letting them off the hook. You're taking them off of your hook, putting them onto God's hook.
Yeah.
He's the one who says, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." So I'm proud of you, and it is true. That was then, but this is now. And we have choices that we didn't have long ago. It's a different world when we look at in today's world. I have choices that I can make that are healthy choices, that are God-honoring and literally healing. So Thank you for sharing that. I'm glad to hear that you're saying that you listen to the CDs that we've sent you, because
yes,
anyone who calls, we seek to send them what they've asked us about that we already have, that I had written, that I'm talking about the counseling keys, which today we're calling keys for living, and there's a wealth of information that anyone can receive when we look at God's truth for today's problems. So what I'm hearing is you have found those helpful. So what is happening at this point?
Well, I got some recovery other things that are going on. I had to get my teeth replaced because of domestic violence. Remember I told you that I had some other recovery issues that were going on. I didn't quite word it that way, but I have since gotten my teeth replaced due to abuse, and I have dentures. So I wanted to say that's a success story. At least I have teeth, you know. I didn't really want to go through all that. I had to have my teeth removed because of it. But there was a incident. I was going to mention it to the producer, but I might as well mention it to you now. During commercial break, you can like look it up. There was a story about a girl. Her name was Layla Daniel. She was 2 years old, and she was murdered by her foster mother. And her birthday was on July 8th, and it was quite emotional for me, and those who knew her probably were way more emotional than I was, but it really hit me really hard, and I talked to the Henry County in Georgia, Child Advocacy Program, and of course they were very nice to do a balloon release, and we all did this balloon release at the same time. It was so bittersweet, but you know the story about foster homes and abuse, what we talked about the last time. So I thought that was very healthy to do something in memory of another foster child that has long gone, you know, since, and that story is in Henry County, Georgia, and I thought maybe if I could do something, you know, I was like, that wasn't quite what I was thinking, but, you know, because it's so tragic, you know, but I did do something, and I got some Georgia legislators to maybe possibly look at writing legislation on foster care. I think they were already probably planning on it, but I'm obviously in Pennsylvania, so it might not really affect me, but I just thought it was really profound that I had that kind of reach just by making a phone call, you know, and out of concern. And I don't think that justice is going to be served, because she's quite the same as what it would be as if she were alive, you know what I mean? But the story of justice is, like, I think putting these people on God's hook is a lot easier, you know what I mean, than it is to seek justice. And I've told you a lot of stories about looking for justice, and I had peace about this when you told me just put them on God's hook, and I said, okay, I think that might be easier.
Well, what you have said, though, is you have identified at times when there are abusive situations, there could be better legislation that needs to be in place. And you know, like I know a few people who are in, like the Texas State House, and I have a dear friend who is a state senator, And she's always looking. And she was on, she worked at a Christian school and initially was math and then was the counselor. And I just know that she is very purposeful about determining what kind of legislation, what kind of legislation needs to be in place for the betterment of everyone. And this would be in the state of Texas, but I'm going to say this. There are many times when you find, aha, this is going on in this state, because you've talked about Georgia and you've talked about Pennsylvania, because you're in Pennsylvania now. But the point is, there can be, it's easier, actually, when there are certain states that have, or even one state, that has taken protective action. In other words, positive action, where there has been abuse. And there needs to be in place this in the and every state of the United States. And I'll just say we have a lot of Canadian listeners. We have people who listen to us around the world. Everywhere in the world, there should never be abuse. And in fact, I will just say this phrase, there is no excuse for abuse. There is no excuse for abuse. And so what we need to do is take action. And there are people that are in government positions. And many times what it requires is somebody to ring that bell, to say, to put, or I'll say, shine a spotlight on a problem that needs to be addressed. That may be a part of your role in life, where if there is something that is very positive that was done here in this particular state, then, okay, let's see if we can get that replicated over here, on, you know, or I'll say over there. And sometimes there are people that are just tremendously gifted in this area who know the information that you would find very helpful if you could find, you know, specifically those individuals where there are abuse, dealing with what type of abuse you're talking about. And, you know, I mean, there are positive stories of foster care. There are some tragic stories in foster care. But there should be every effort that we make sure that tragedies do not happen.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org. Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Hope in the Night, a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. And we exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of our ministry here. We just really are appreciative, and you mean so much to us to hold us up and keep us on the air. If you have questions about any of the topics that we raise here on the program, we encourage you to give a call to our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. We have over 100 keys for living that will help you address a situation you might be dealing with in your life. We have the keys for living called Forgiveness. Releasing you is freeing me. Again, that's forgiveness, and you can get in touch with customer support. They're available anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'd be happy to help you access the right resources. And again, that number is 800-488-4673. Well, register today for the 2021 Hope Together Conference. That is called In Focus and Empowered. It's a premier Christian life coaching event, October 14 to 16, and it is going to be in Allen, Texas. If you are interested in becoming a Christian life coach, if you're already a life coach and you desire to advance your knowledge and skills, and you have you have some interest in being a lay caregiver, a ministry leader, discipleship, if you enjoy small group leading, all of that would be helped and improved there as you learn the skills that you will need. You'll learn from some of the leading voices in Christian life coaching. You'll be equipped, empowered, and encouraged. Some of the keynote speakers, Nick V, and Alita Reynolds, Steve Arterburn, Dr. Mark Creer, Drs. Gary and Barb Rosberg, so many more, and June Hunt, our own. So we want to let you know that the Early Bird Special expires August 13th. You can find out more information on it by going to ICCICoaching.com. That's ICCICoaching.com. Find out all the details there. Let's return to our conversation now with Michelle.
Well, Michelle, I did look at something that you and I had talked about, and that was your mother saying, you said, you know, she just didn't have anything good to say about you, and you remember, you know, her kicking you in the head when you were just age 5. And I know when we were talking, it was you, and I quoted you, meaning I wrote down what you said. You said, my biggest problem is not knowing how to forgive. And, you know, when we did send you our material on forgiveness. And so have you felt that it's been easier now for you to genuinely forgive so you are not caught up in bitterness, anger, mm-hmm. and, okay. So what has helped you the most in the arena of forgiveness?
Well, because there was so much abuse that really I was focusing on the worst of all the abuse was more stuff arose over the year. My sister disclosed verbal abuse about 2 months ago. After school, the foster mother would come home after school and cuss up a storm. The girls would go and look at videos that they weren't supposed to, and she would verbally attack them after school. And then remembering my brother being forced down the steps by his arm, the school abuse that went on with my dad. So it kind of like my mother off to the side, and I just put her on the hook, on God's hook, you know.
Yeah.
It's like once all these memories started coming back, it's like it puts it like on the lower rank, like it becomes more insignificant, not that it isn't, but, you know, I can forgive my mom. Because I'm dealing with other things right now. You know, I'm dealing with these new memories. Excuse me.
Right. Okay. So, you know, I'm going to just say that what has helped me is because, you know, we can genuinely forgive. We release that person. And that's what the word forgive means, release or dismiss. And this is following the model of Jesus, who was being crucified on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, they knew what they were doing from a physical standpoint. But obviously, they had no spiritual comprehension of what God would have wanted to them to have been. They didn't know who he was, but it's really more than just, it's that they didn't know how to be who God created them to be, because God did not create people to be mockers and, you know, literally ridiculing people. And this is what was going on with the crucifixion, as well as the horrendous act of the physical crucifixion. But my point is, if this is mentioned multiple times in the Bible, and it is, and this was my hardest thing for me, all, you know, until I finally, I've become a Christian, but the forgiveness part just didn't seem right. And so I'm saying this because I will tell you the one thing that has made the most difference for me, because periodically I'll have someone who, you know, I'll hear what someone has said about me, and while it can smart, meaning it can be painful, if someone is being cruel, being stabbing, or whatever the phrasing we would use, there's something wrong with people who hurt other people. There's something wrong on the inside. There's something that's not whole within that person. And it dawned on me, finally, when I was learning to understand forgiveness, that the Bible actually says, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. And so this is literally the way I have found immense relief. And it is when I know someone has been real negative, or, and you know, it's amazing how things get back to you. You'll learn something, just like you talked about talking with a sister. Well, there are times when people will tell you things that they may think you already know, or they're trying to help you and say, let me tell you what so-and-so is saying. Well, what I do with that, there are times when it's appropriate to confront, and there are times when it's not. And so no matter what, I need, my responsibility is just to be biblical and pray for those who persecute me. Pray for those who are negative toward me. I wish they would come to me and talk with me, and because I can be immensely rational, and it may be that there's something I need to reconsider, or, you know, I can benefit from a genuine critique. There are literary critics. There are different kinds of critics. Some people just have a critical spirit, and they push others down, and it makes them feel superior, kind of makes them feel significant. But my point is,
they must be insecure or something.
Yeah, there's some need they're trying to get met just by pushing you down, by hurting you. And many times, depending on what their background is, and many times it's not healthy, it's not, It can be people who are really, you know, why are some people cruel? Well, I can tell you, we're all created with three inner needs for love, significance, and security. If you talk with anyone who is a student or a studier, or a professor, a teacher, dealing with violence to understand, it makes the people who are violent feel more significant. If they do not have compassion, well, there are some people who were hurt early on, and they become numb, emotionally numb. And so they don't mind hurting other people. It's like, you know, I was hurt, so I'm going to hurt you. And there is a mindset that is not healthy. It's not good. But instead of us being controlled emotionally by those people who do hurt us, better to say, okay, this is what this relative did. This is what this person did. And just say, Lord, I just pray one day they will have their eyes opened to see what literally would be healing to them, or that they would have a changed life through Christ. And my typical thing is, Lord, may one day that person have a receptiveness to you. May they have a changed life. Because anyone can be positive. You know, there's no one who couldn't change. I said my dad would never change. Well, I was wrong. You know, 9 months before he died, he actually prayed a prayer to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But I, you know, early on, I never thought he would change. And I was bitter. I had a hatred. But I was wrong, too. It wasn't true. People can change that you never think would change. But our role needs to be to pray for those who persecute us. When we know someone has intentionally been cruel, that's what Jesus did. That's exactly what he did. And if we're going to be Christ-like, then let's do what he did and be biblical. And that doesn't mean we're accepting abuse. It's saying, in spite of this abuse, I'm going to choose to focus not on the fault, but focus on the need in that person. And that person needs a changed life. And I pray that whatever method, whatever is used, they will one day see that they actually need a changed life, and they would be willing to be changed by the Lord. And you know, sometimes our attitude is the I'm talking about when we do that, when we have the love of Christ. By the way, the Bible says love your enemies. I used to think, that's impossible. No, love means seeking. Agape love is seeking the highest good of another person. We're seeking what is best for that other person. So when you're not controlled by the meanness and cruelty of others, then, and you're literally focusing on, Lord, whatever could turn that person around, I pray that that would happen. That's the spirit that we should have.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
You're listening to Hope in the Night, and we want to let you know that we will be getting to our caller in just a moment. If you have questions about any of the topics that we raise here, though, and you want to get some information on those, and you'd like to see some resources for yourself, we would like to let you know how to do that. And it is customer support available at 800-488-HOPE, and they're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'll help you get those resources into your hands. We have the Keys for Living called Forgiveness. Releasing you is freeing me. And that number again, 800-488-4673. And you can also check out our website for more resources and information there. It's hopefortheheart.org/store. There you can find the new updated Keys for Living, the Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as a segment called June's Place. It is for all the biblical resources, books, and CDs that are there, and you'll find it all at hopefortheheart.org/store. Well, now back to our conversation with Michelle.
All right, sweetheart, within the last 14 minutes that we have, I just want to say I have some of your timeline. I know you said you hadn't, you ran out of paper, you didn't finish. I want to encourage you to go on and have your, tell what was painful in your childhood. And
I did do a timeline.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I thought you said that you kind of ran out of paper. I did
run out of paper, though.
Okay, right. Well, so I have some of it. Like, for example, like have in 2008, you said it was the worst time of your life. Your eyes, you had black eyes, swollen shut, you know, being beaten, and you know, this type of thing. And kind of you learn what kind of people not to get involved with. That's the Bible says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. So you have a biblical right to move out of harm's way. Mm-hmm. And you need to act on that, because that's being biblical. But so what I was going to suggest is, if you did run up out of basically paper or time or motivation, that you just go on and go one more time, go back and consider, okay, is there anything I need to add in childhood? Mm. I have some of that list. In some of your youth, what happened, and then of course in adulthood, etc. But then when you finish, for you to literally go back.
There was an incident in 1974 that I just remembered. An incest.
Mm-hmm. Incest.
And I didn't remember it until after I got done talking to you.
Okay.
Wow. And it was 1974, 1975.
Yeah.
When I was in preschool. And I had a lot of embarrassed. I felt very embarrassed by this. But I just wanted to talk to you about it. It came up on my timeline.
Wow, and that was a member of the family, correct?
We were the same age.
Okay.
We were both 4 and 5 years old.
Well, it's important that when something comes up like that, that you deal with it. And, you know, there's something I didn't send you. I'm going to send you something on grief. And the reason is, we talk about a timeline there, but it's really how to let the past stay in the past. You're in grief, a lot of people don't ever heal. They don't understand why. Well, there are three stages of grief, and one is when there has been loss. It's hard for me to hear that you had any kind of a healthy childhood. It's like you lost the safety that you should have received in your childhood, and that's not your fault. You don't have a choice about that. You're where you are, whatever family you're in, whatever home you're in. Well, there are things to grieve in a healthy way. In fact, we're told that we are to grieve. This is in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a time to grieve. There's a time to mourn. And then many times it's when we have memories that begin to come. By the way, the memories are actually a sign of healing. It's like the Lord will give memories because now it's time to deal with those issues. And that's when more and more healing takes place. So when you look at the time to grieve, it can be literally, this is part of why you write these down. But then it's not just for the sake of writing them down. It's going back and looking at each specific loss, the pain, and then for you to go back and say, to write the word past. Mm-hmm. Past. And that's when you've gotten everything written down that you can remember, those memories will serve to do something positive. And that means when there's a time to grieve, when you're wanting healing, this is part of what is called the grief process, or it's a type of grieving that is called grief work. And that means you're accepting that the past will always be in the past. This is what will happen when you finish. Healthy grieving or healthy grief work will culminate in accepting that the past will always be in the past, accepting that the present can offer stability and significance. And third, it's accepting that the future can hold new and promising hope. And this is where we replace fear with faith. Isaiah 41:13 says, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. So he helps you through this process. And what I think can be very helpful as you are getting, you know, periodically memories, just do something with them, and it's literally accepting that the past will always be in the past, and we help with more of what you actually do. So you're going to be getting something else from us. We've sent domestic violence and boundaries and all, and I'm proud of you, by the way. I'm very proud of you, because what you've done is you're not just engaged in a conversation like we did a year ago, three different times, but you've done something. You're listening to the CDs. You've looked at and read the material, because I think you really do want true healing for your heart.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Good.
And
good.
You know, when that stuff started, as I did more work, the stuff started surfacing more.
Yep.
And that's the deeper things of God. That's work, because I feel safe enough to do that.
Isn't that a wonderful word? You feel safe to mm-hmm. do this now? That's great.
Yeah. I feel safe with you enough to say that. And that I wouldn't be able to open up about this without talking to somebody that's safe.
Well, I know what it's like to be shut down for years and not mm-hmm. share anything, because I always felt I had a cork in my throat and I couldn't get it out until mm-hmm. eventually. And, this is what having trusted friends, and I'm not talking about a whole bunch. I'm talking about, there can be people God brings into your life who are gifts from him. And they are a part of the healing. Because I remember... in fact, I just said this to a friend who had helped me years ago, and I said, I had made a comment about not being able to talk, and she said, but when you did, it was like a gully washer. It was getting it out, but I didn't feel safe until, in adulthood. And while I couldn't tell a lot of people, I could at least tell this friend here and that friend there. But I had very few people that I talked with. But then it got easier. That this is why it's important. Jesus said, the truth sets you what?
Free.
That's right. So the more you're able...
This has been the most free I felt ever about this. I want to cry because I don't feel shame about anything. I feel like I'm set free of it.
I'm so proud of you. Just remember that it doesn't help us to stay closed off and shut down. Mm-hmm. When Jesus says the truth sets us free, it's his truth applied to our lives. And he literally will guide you to deal with the truth. But I want you to be very selective in the kinds of people you allow in your life. You don't need manipulators. Manipulators look for people they can manipulate. Abusers look for people they can abuse, right?
Yeah.
So you have to, this is where you pray for discernment and say, Lord, is this... the kind of person who is trustworthy, and a friend, a true friend, will be trustworthy. It doesn't have to be just a friend. It could be someone who is wise. In fact, the Bible says, he who walks with the wise grows wise. Yeah. On occasion, I've had someone, it wasn't a friend, it was somebody who was trustworthy, and who entered my life for a period of time. It wasn't a buddy-buddy. It was somebody that I could speak with who would give wise counsel. So pray. This is how I want you to pray. God, I pray for wise people in my life. And that means you have to be in a church that is biblically based, where people carry their Bibles, to be involved in a Bible study where you're learning God's truth. His mm-hmm. truth will set us free. And so I'm so proud of you. The difference from a year ago to now, wow,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's just praise God for that, because the Bible says, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one that I praise. You are the one that I praise. I'm proud of you, and we'll be sending you our material on grief. Grief, and that means living at peace with loss.
We will send the Keys for Living on Grief called Living at Peace with Loss. And we'll send that out to tonight's caller. We do that free of charge. We enjoy doing that because and we're able to do that because of your generous support of this ministry. We thank you for that. If you'd like to help keep Hope in the Night on the air, just go to hopefortheheart.org and look for that donate button. And we thank you. You may order resources for yourself as well at 800-488-HOPE anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out the broadcast app called Hope for the Heart. Find it wherever you find your apps. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.